Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
It's David Noble today filling in for Aaron Flint. That is Noble with a K. I'm a lawyer here in Billings, and you can also find me online at LectureFan on all the social media applications, LCTRFAN. Open phones all hour long. No guests, nothing scheduled, just me, the microphone, and the phone. So 406-294-0970. If you want to be on the show, 406-294-0970. Spent a lot of the morning talking about, of course, Trump and Musk. Not much more can be said about that. Talked to a couple of Attorney General Austin Knutson press releases about some successes he's had. Of course, we were talking about the Missoula City Council making the LGBTQ pride flag its official flag in sort of blatant violation of Montana statute, but also in kind of a moment of truth, right? It kind of shows that the pride flag really is the official flag of the American left, as shown by the Missoula City Council. It also happens to be their religion. It's kind of their religion and their whole entire official government. Remember, the Democrats were the ones that flew the LGBTQ pride flag on American embassies overseas in countries where that would not go over well. Here's a story. I wanted to throw this one out to folks up there to see if anybody cares about this. So apparently Michelle Obama has revealed that their daughter, Malia Obama, has changed her name to drop Obama from it. Malia, apparently, who is pursuing a film career in Hollywood, is now going by Malia Ann. Malia Ann instead of Malia Obama. And I just kind of thought this was interesting. So Michelle was apparently skeptical at first to Malia dropping her famous last name, but then they sort of came around to it. Michelle Obama says, Malia, who started in film, I mean, her first project, she took off her last name, and we were like, they're still going to know it's you, Malia. But we respected the fact that, you know, she's trying to make her way. Now, this comes kind of right on the heels of a bunch of speculation out there about potential problems with Barack and Michelle. But I just thought that was a little bit, I personally find it a little bit off-putting that Barack Obama's daughter would drop Obama from her name as part of her career in Hollywood. But that's just sort of my take. The actually important thing going on right now is a little bit of good news out of Secretary Noem of DHS getting rid of the Quiet Skies program at Department of Homeland Security, which put Americans into additional screenings in order to fly, including Tulsi Gabbard. If you recall that story about how the Biden admin through the DHS had put Tulsi Gabbard on the list of the Quiet Skies program. So that is ending. So that's some good news out of Washington, D.C. Boy, that doesn't happen very often.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
David Noble in for Aaron Flint. Open phones all hour long. Now's your chance, folks. I'm in the hot seat here. I got control of the mic. And I don't have anybody scheduled, and I'm not going to cut you off, and I'm not saying anybody ever cuts anybody off on this show, but I certainly am a little bit looser with the callers than other guest hosts potentially. So now's your chance, 294-0970, whatever you want to talk about. Let's go to Arch in Boyd. Arch, thanks for calling.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking the call. I was wondering, since two-thirds is more than one-third, if we have three co-equal branches, executive, legislative, and the judicial, why does not the executive and the legislative just nullify the judicial branch? Two-thirds is more than one-third.
You'd have to ask Congress and the president that. The president would certainly answer that by saying the president absolutely agrees with to follow all court orders, et cetera, et cetera. Although I will say this, there has been a portion of what the president, call it the executive branch if you want, a portion of what the executive branch has said recently would actually qualify as nullifying or sort of at least setting the stage for it. And what it was a specific comment by Marco Rubio. Now, Marco Rubio is he's an attorney. He's studied this stuff. You know, it's not like when Donald Trump talks about a lot of this stuff, he'll oftentimes say, I'm not a lawyer, you know, talk to the lawyers, et cetera, et cetera. But Marco Rubio actually is a lawyer. And so when Marco Rubio said this, and there was really no pushback or blowback against it, I thought it was really quite telling. And what he said was, we will follow all court orders. However, there's not a single district court judge nor the Supreme Court that can ever order the president to do anything in foreign policy. And so I think Marco Rubio even throughout the possibility, like, for example, if there was a district court or some judge that ordered the Trump administration to engage in international diplomacy with another country, the Trump administration would not honor that order, would not respect that order. Now, you can call that nullification if you want. I wouldn't consider it nullification. I would just consider it basically the president engaging in the president's own independent duty and obligation to uphold the Constitution. And that's thankfully we have not been put into a position where the executive branch has had to formally take a position that this particular order is going to not be followed or complied with because we view it as unconstitutional. Because once you get into that situation, it's basically no holds barred. We're hanging on by a thread here in terms of having any respect left for the rule of law. Now, there's a lot of arguments that's already gone out the window. The respect for the Constitution has already gone out the window. And so why should we even, try to continue to follow the Constitution when the other side doesn't? I think the answer to that is we're better than them. We don't want to lower ourselves to their level. But certainly this idea that the whole idea of like three co-equal branches of government, I think that is that's the ideal situation, right? That's what our founding fathers envisioned. I definitely think there's a very strong argument to say that we no longer live under sort of three co-equal branches of government. We instead are living under judicial supremacy because kind of the Supreme Court kind of has the last word on a lot of these issues. Although, again, counter to that would be, no, actually, that's not quite true either, because look at what happened recently with the Kilmer-Garcia case, right, where the Supreme Court specifically reversed a district court for basically interfering with the president's foreign policy. When the district court had said the president needs to basically effectuate the return of Kilmer, and the Supreme Court reversed and said, no, the most you could do is just say facilitate. And you have to, and the executive branch only has to share with the courts what the executive branch views that it can, and the courts can't tell the executive branch to go into another country. The most we could do is just say that they should facilitate it, which we sort of interpreted as being, if the other country wanted to send him back, that we would have to agree to take him, but that the courts can't force the administration to go, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But the problem is, right, we're getting up very, very close to that line. And then the other problem is, of course, is that sort of setting aside what I'm talking about, which is basically court orders that would go specifically to something that is constitutionally the obligation of the presidency. You've seen a lot of other court orders that are wrong, that are outside of that scope. And frankly, you see a lot of court orders, and within the Montana Supreme Court, you see stuff like this where there's court orders that go against the Constitution of Montana, or certainly as our interpretation. The question is, what do you do? right, is the better solution? No, let's get Judge Dan Wilson elected here next year. Is that the better solution, to try to work within our system to get Judge Dan Wilson elected, or to continue to elect Republicans in the U.S. Senate and a Republican president to try to get our federal judiciary back on track? Or is the better solution, I'll just nullify it, just disregard it, just say, screw it, we're not going to follow any court orders anymore? I would suggest that we're not to the point where, because that's basically civil war. At that point, you're basically calling for the overthrow of the government as well. I certainly do not support overthrowing the Constitution, overthrowing the government. I think if you were ever to have a situation where Congress, the president, the courts, whoever, any branch, if they were to just say, basically we're just going to disregard this or that, or what this branch is doing or what that branch is doing, or this court order, that court order, these types of things, that's essentially overthrowing the government. I don't think we're there yet. I think with Trump in office, with a Republican Senate, we've got some opportunities.
Hey, maybe you're heading off for a summer road trip. You're stuck in the car. You're driving across the state, driving across the country. You need a little energy. Plus, you got that stiff neck, that stiff lower back. You need a little pain reliever as well. Well, let me tell you about a Montana-made product, Power Plus Pain Aid. It's got both energy and pain-relieving vitamins. And it was all created by a Big Fork Montana Marine Corps veteran. DrinkPowerPlus.com. That's the website. And hey, for all of our Montana Talks listeners, right now you can take 15% off your orders at drinkpowerplus.com when you use this code at checkout, Flint15. Flint15. Use that code at drinkpowerplus.com and you can take 15% off your orders. But yeah, I like to use it as like a pre-workout before exercising. And I also feel like it loosens up that stiff upper neck that a lot of you will get as well. Drinkpowerplus.com.
Montana. It's morning in Montana. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
You know, here's an example of a court order that really is sort of approaching the boundary lines of being unconstitutional in and of itself. Judge blocks Trump's ban on foreign students at Harvard. Now, here's the thing, okay? Some judge, some federal district court judge, doesn't have the same information that Donald Trump does and that the presidential administration does, that the U.S. government does. So when the U.S. government, using all of the information at its fingertips, implements a tool like prohibiting foreigners from enrolling in Harvard, that is a national security, foreign policy, immigration-based decision that really the courts are not in a position to be overturning. And when I was in law school, I used to learn about something called judicial restraint, which is where the courts would restrain themselves and say, no, we're not gonna overturn a presidential decision on an issue like this, because the courts, we don't have the information and the expertise and the knowledge to make a decision. And if the courts are going to overturn that and tell the executive branch you've got to allow in a bunch of foreign students to Harvard, that could have some pretty severe consequences that the courts are not prepared to take responsibility for, which is why they should restrain themselves. My hope with all of these orders that we're seeing is that the Supreme Court comes in and fixes them. And I think the Supreme Court so far is doing a really good job. For example, one of the things I was talking about today quite a bit was the Supreme Court of the United States just recently basically got rid of a racially discriminatory standard that the Sixth Circuit had put in place, basically saying, like, if you're a white person and you sue for discrimination, you have to have more evidence than if a black person sued for discrimination. That was the Sixth Circuit standard until the U.S. Supreme Court just recently unanimously reversed that. So my hope is that the U.S. Supreme Court will step in on a lot of these issues and a lot of these cases and do the right thing, just like they did there. Let's go to Cynthia in Red Lodge. Cynthia, thanks for calling.
Yeah, good morning, David. I wanted to talk about Nellie Nickel visiting our Republican women's meeting in Carbon County last week, and she informed us, which we did not know, that the Hospital Association and the medical industry in general they can keep your child's medical records from you if your child is over 12. And we asked why, and she said because it's such lucrative business with the transitioning surgeries and the abortions and the suicidal ideations and all of this that kids are going through, that the hospital's association has made the kids have to sign an affidavit, and the parents don't have the rights unless the kid signs the affidavit. So she wanted to make it clear to people that if you've had this happen to you with your children, there are certain instances where you can sue the hospitals, or the, which is not exactly what everybody wants to do, but anyway, it is legal recourse because this isn't exactly legal what they're doing. And she also stated that there's a lot of representatives who were taken out and who by Conservatives for Montana PAC, and that PAC was specifically funded by the Montana Hospital Association. And so so that our representative in Carbon County, Brad Barker, received money from them, and the whole thing behind it was to get these people to vote for Medicaid expansion, yep, which funds these surgeries and, yep, the like. So the hospital association essentially benefits from that, and then they pass on, they fund these people's campaigns and try and keep them in. So Montana electorate, I'm sure Conservatives for Montana PAC, which is a left-wing, out-of-state funded operation, they'll appear in the next election cycle under a different PAC name. We have to be really careful about who our representatives are. And they may come off as the biggest conservative in the world, but the fact of the matter is they might be funded by left-wing or undesirable sources.
Yep, and I think what you just described is a very good explanation for why we saw what we did see happen in the 2025 legislature.
Yes, exactly.
And Representative Nellie Nickel is fantastic. By the way, thank you, Cynthia and Red Lodge. Great call. Yeah, Representative Nellie Nickel, one of my favorite representatives in the Montana House. She did an absolutely fantastic job. I obviously wasn't there at the meeting that Cynthia's talking about, so can't confirm or deny anything that Cynthia said about what Representative Nickel had provided at that. Certainly, my personal opinion, just without, you know, getting into the legal weeds on it too much, that sounds totally improper for a parent to not be able to get their child's medical records. That's just totally out of line, totally unconstitutional, in my personal opinion. Of course, it's also totally hypocritical on these left. George Blacker and I were talking about how, you know, the Democrats want to start arresting the parents if a kid does a school shooting. But then when it comes to these issues, abortion and trans surgeries, then the kid is an adult at 12 and the parents have no role. So these people are all over the map and total hypocrites. Let's go to Josh in Billings. Josh, thanks for calling.
Hey, David, thanks for taking my call. I just saw yesterday that Steve Bannon was calling for the seizure of SpaceX and the deportation of Elon Musk during this spat that they're having. And I just thought it's interesting that, you know, the Nazi salute and the laying off of people and the drug use and all that stuff was not a problem until Elon Musk went against Trump. So the only real foundation of any morality, the only thing that you can't do as a Republican is go against Trump. Is that right?
Well, of course, you know, SpaceX is never going to get seized. Elon Musk is never going to get deported. Steve Bannon is out on a limb. You know what that sign reminds me of? Steve Bannon saying that reminds me of the guys out there saying, oh, you know, Trump should just completely ignore the courts, and or, you know, the governor in Montana should just ignore the courts and stuff. It's not going to happen. the likelihood of the Trump administration coming out and saying we are now ignoring court orders going forward is about as likely as SpaceX getting seized and Elon Musk getting deported. This is all, like, I'm sorry, folks, but if you guys actually believe that it's a realistic possibility that SpaceX gets seized by the government and that Trump deports Elon Musk, who's an American citizen. If you actually think that that's a realistic possibility, I feel sorry for you. You're out on a limb. You're out to lunch. You're a couple of fries short of a Happy Meal or something. Similarly, if you actually think it's a realistic possibility that the Trump administration or the Gianforte administration or any Republican administration is going to come out publicly and say, from now on, we don't respect the Constitution. We don't respect, you know, the third branch of government. We're just going to violate court orders. We're just going to ignore court orders. People, come back to reality, folks. Please come back to reality. Trump and Gianforte are not going to come out and say they're going to violate court orders, okay? Elon Musk is not going to get deported. Oh, my word. I can't believe I've got to explain this to some people. Oh, boy. Wow, we got some people that are a little bit disconnected from reality, to put it lightly there. Let's go to Tom in Bozeman. Tom, thanks for calling.
Yeah, I just had a crazy thought. I listened to that segment about the VA, and I have some veteran friends who've had very disappointing experience with those doctors and those facilities. And so my crazy idea is we should just eliminate the VA, shut down those facilities, they're substandard, and convert the VA to an insurance company, hire some people from the private sector to run it, and just provide medical insurance. So that's my crazy idea for the day.
Yeah, I mean, I don't see that as all that crazy of an idea. In fact, I was gonna actually look into or ask George about this, but when was the VA created? What was the original intent behind the VA? Has it been such a failure that it would make sense to get rid of it and either you know, have it be an insurance company, or just have the government pay for their private insurance or private medical care? You know, I don't know the answer to that, but I would be interested in sort of knowing the history, the original reasoning. Because here's what happens, right? Here's a perfect example of it. And I've been doing a little studying of the American water supply out here in the West, and the history of it is quite interesting, especially with the Bureau of Reclamation and the Army Corps of Engineers. And so what happened is kind of interesting. Like, the government created the Bureau of Reclamation to basically put dams on rivers to irrigate lands, to create, to reclaim desert land and make it into irrigable farmland. And then, you know, lo and behold, once they sort of did that, then what are they supposed to do? Well, they just sort of, they kept doing it, and they then sort of started building dams that maybe didn't make original sense, because they're an organization that builds dams. That's what they do. I'd sort of be curious, like with the VA, what were the underlying conditions at the time? So, for example, was it just that there wasn't enough of a private medical industry to provide the necessary services to our veterans, and so it was sort of like an absolute necessity if we were going to get the appropriate medical care to vets? I'm assuming that maybe have been one of the reasons. And if that's the case, you know, that underlying reason doesn't exist anymore, but the organization still does. And you see that over and over and over again with the government. You see it over and over and over again where you have the government will create these organizations or these agencies or these programs. And at the beginning, there's some sort of a situation that would justify it, that would make it make sense. And then over time, that situation abates or changes, and the original justification for this agency may no longer exist, but it still just exists by virtue of government inertia and just how things work in government. I don't know. I think somebody needs to do a deep dive into the history of the VA to figure that one out.
This is where Montana Talks Ag with Lane Nordlund.
Last week, I shared a bit of my conversation with meteorologist Brian Bledsoe on his predictions for weather here in 2025, and he believes things are going to change here over the next few weeks and change to a drier trend. He showed more on some of the indicators he's watching for weather here in 2025 and into 2026.
I think those sea surface temperatures along the equator are going to be very key, because if we don't warm things up more in the next couple of months here, it's going to make us that much easier to slip back into La Nina-like conditions as we head into fall and into December. And I don't want to say that we are for sure going to go back to a La Nina. I'm just worried about it right now, which for Montana, that isn't necessarily a terrible thing for the winter, because if we look at an El Nino and what it means for the northern Rockies and northern plains, that usually means drier, warmer weather, and usually kind of a lack of winter. So if we can kind of keep those sea surface temperatures at least a little bit cooler than average or slip back into La Nina, I think it's at least on the table for us to have another pretty good bout of winter weather on the way as we head into late 25 and into 26.
If you'd like to watch or listen to my entire conversation with Colorado Farm Kid and meteorologist Brian Bledsoe, check out my podcast, the Lancast Ag Podcast, wherever you listen or watch podcasts. I'm Lane Northland. Have a great day.
Big topics, big ideas, big sky, Montana Talks.
David Noble in for Aaron Flint, and we are taking phone calls, 406-294-0970. Let's go to Barbara in Billings. Barbara, thanks for calling.
Good morning. Elon Musk seems to be acting like a petulant child. He went to Washington, D.C. to reduce the size of government. That means that people have to take their products on the open market, and if his electric cars can't make it on the open market, so be it. And so when they take away the tax incentive, yeah, it's time for him to get out and play in the open.
Yeah, of course, you know, they were taking away the electrical, the EV tax incentives a long, long time ago, which is lots of people are pointing that out. It's like this really doesn't have anything to do with the EV stuff, simply because, again, Trump was saying months and months and months ago, hey, we're getting rid of the EV. We're getting rid of the EV mandate, the EV tax credits, the EV subsidies, whatever you want to call it. It's all sort of the same thing. Trump has been doing that for a long, long, long time. And Trump is right. You know, Trump is absolutely right that, you know, Elon Musk has known about the EV mandate going away for a long time. So that really doesn't explain this, in my opinion, and especially because Elon Musk has known for a long time that the EV market is not going to be there. People don't want them, which is why if you pay close attention to what Elon Musk has been saying recently, and by recently I mean over the past several years, what he has been saying is, okay, Tesla's stock, and when I talk about Elon Musk talking about things, I'm talking about Tesla, and Tesla specifically, its business, its stock, what Trump would say on shareholder earnings calls and things like that. What he's been saying for a long time is that Tesla, it's not even an EV company anymore, or it's certainly not where its value is. Tesla is an AI company, and it's a robotics company, And its full self-driving is going to be sort of where Tesla's worth is coming from. So Elon Musk for years has been telling investors and shareholders that Tesla's future is not as an EV maker. The market in the U.S. and frankly worldwide just simply isn't there. The demand's not there, which is why Tesla has been moving more towards becoming an AI company with its full self-driving software and other AI software, and a robotics company with the Optimus Prime robot and all of that stuff. So Elon Musk has known for a very long time that the EV market is going downhill, which is exactly why he's been switching over to AI and robotics, and that's the real future of Tesla. Let's go to Perry in Columbus. Perry, thanks for calling.
Good morning, David. Thanks for taking the call. You know, I just want to start out reminding everybody in the sound of these airwaves of the 9 scariest words in the English language. I'm from the government, and I'm here to help.
True.
You know, whether it's the VA or the Department of Education or the federal judiciary thinking they get a dictate to Donald Trump, foreign policy for the United States of America, what we have here is a a situation where there's just no limit to what these people will stick their noses into. And the thing about government is that it doesn't create anything. It doesn't create wealth. It only takes taxes and spends on and with redistribution. So the point that I want to make is that the way to take this country back from the swamp, the left, the blob, whatever you want to call them, and tamp them down for good, hopefully, is to keep it on a tight enough, short enough leash or tight enough collar that you can drown them in the bathtub. Because anything else, as soon as you let them loose with your money and give them freedom and where the wherewithal to spend it anywhere they want, like USAID, that USAID thing, if that doesn't tell you what's going on, I don't know what will. But that's how we take this country back from the blob, the deep state, and there you go. What do you think about that?
Well, I mean, I think you're right, and I think history basically proves us right. But so how do we actually get a majority of Americans to understand that principle when you've got all the facts staring everybody in the face because of the history of what governments do, and yet you still have people wanting to have the government do this and the government do that. I mean, do you have any insight on to how do we actually get people to understand the truth of what you're saying?
Well, you know, hopefully it's not at a place where I think there's a great awakening going on right now, and we need to push really hard to expand that to everybody who thinks with half a brain or more, because we don't want to let it get to the place where, what did Bongino say, is it bad enough yet? To where, or like an alcoholic that bottoms out, that's when they realize that they have to change their ways, and that would be the collapse of our economy because of the debt. People better darn well start thinking about the world, the country, the nation that we're going to leave for our kids and our grandkids, because if they don't start thinking into the future a little bit, it won't be here.
How about this, Perry? How about instead of us telling everybody else that they need to understand that we need to change our spending and our policies or we're going to collapse, maybe the more appropriate thing would be for people like you and I, Perry, for us to recognize that there's never been a government in human history that has on its own voluntarily withdrawn its own power and reduced its own spending. And so, Perry, should you and I just accept the reality that we're headed towards economic collapse and debt slavery and a debt collapse and a currency crisis? And should we just prepare ourselves and our family for that eventuality?
Well, of course you should prepare, but I don't see it as an eventuality. I certainly see it as a strong possibility. But the thing is that we dug in our heels and worked with the party and talking to people here in Stillwater County about getting rid of flip-flop, flat-top tester. And guess what? Between us and hundreds of other people, Kat in eastern Montana comes to mind, we did it. So it's not inevitable. It's going to take a lot of hard work and waking up a lot of people, opening their minds. But I have to believe that we can do it without going down the rabbit hole.
I'm with you on that. I'm with you on that. Perry, thanks so much. Great call as always. 100% agree. We're not there yet. It's the same thing with this whole notion about, you know, disregarding courts and disregarding courts' orders and things like that. We're not there yet either on that either, folks. And whether I guess I probably wouldn't be here. Maybe I would be if I thought it was all hopeless. I remember, you know, Rush Limbaugh used to always say that he would also, and just like Bongino asked that question, you know, Rush Limbaugh used to say, you know, I'll let you know when it's time to panic. And he never said it was time to panic. And so I think that's right. I think we're getting real, real close, though, on both the government spending level and on courts entering orders, activist orders, whatever you want to call them. I think we're getting real close to being the time to panic, the time to start just preparing for collapse and everything else. But I agree with Perry. We're not there yet. We still have some some interesting opportunities. Here's a maybe we can just bring up a good news story here. President Trump has formally asked Congress to rescind $9.4 billion in spending lawmakers had previously approved. And this is from the mainstream media here in Montana. I think this is from NPR because they start the story out with that, but then says, comma, jeopardizing federal funding for Montana's public media organizations. So Yellowstone Public Radio, Montana Public Radio, Montana PBS, and KGLT, the Bozeman-based music station, face a combined $2.6 million shortfall this fall. Montana PBS receives 70% of those funds. I know Aaron always brings up the point about how, you know, when we first started talking about cutting federal funding, taxpayer funding for these left-wing, quote-unquote, news outlets, NPR and PBS and KGLT, I guess, you know, they all came out and said, oh, pff, that's not a big deal. We get most of our funding from donations. But now when it's actually on the line and it's actually going to get cut, now all of a sudden it's sort of all hands on deck. 70% of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting funding goes directly to local public TV and public radio stations. Montana PBS provides emergency alert services. The Montana PBS faces a $1.8 million shortfall, which is roughly 20% of its budget. On and on and on and on. My question is why were we funding this stuff to begin with? Where in the Constitution, in Article 1, Section 8, does it say that Congress has the power to have radio stations and TV stations?
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
David Noble filling in for Aaron Flint. Noble with a K. I'm an attorney here in Billings. You can find me online doing personal political opinions at LCTRFAN Lecture Fan on X, Twitch, YouTube, and Instagram. Good news from DHS and Kristi Noem, one of my favorite politicians, the only governor that got COVID completely correct, Kristi Noem. Remember, Kristi Noem, governor of South Dakota at the time, refused to do any kind of a shutdown, and now that she's in office at the DHS, Secretary of DHS in Trump's cabinet, shutting down the Quiet Skies program, which was basically this DHS program to subject American citizens to heightened scrutiny and screening at the airport. She's quoted as saying, quote, "It's clear that the Quiet Skies program was used as a political Rolodex of the Biden admin, weaponized against its political foes, and exploited to benefit their well-heeled friends. I am calling for a congressional investigation to unearth further corruption at the expense of the American people and the undermining of U.S. national security." Now, here's the deal. We need to have some of these investigations of that abuse of power by the Biden administration, not just investigated, but can we get some prosecutions and some arrests, please? Because there's no doubt in my mind that the Biden administration was using this program to target their political opponents like Tulsi Gabbard. That's how she ended up on there. The DHS says the list of exemptions of people who avoid security policies include foreign royal families, political elites, professional athletes, and favored journalists. This was originally a terror prevention method. Of course, the ACLU was originally not a fan of it, but I don't remember the ACLU raising any concerns about it during the Biden administration. Noem goes on to say TSA's critical aviation and security vetting functions will be maintained. The Trump administration will return TSA to its true mission of being laser focused on the safety and security of the traveling public This includes restoring the integrity, privacy, and equal application of the law for all Americans. Man, there's a little something there called equal protection. Don't you wish the Biden administration had cared about that? So much of what we as conservatives are doing and believing in is based on equal protection and just sort of this innate sense of justice and fairness. You know, for example, none of us have any problems with the mass pardoning of all January 6th protesters, even though we absolutely despise, abhor, and condemn some of the activities of some of those January 6th protesters that that were criminal, that involved attacking law enforcement officers or violating, destroying property, things like that. But yet we still support those pardons because of something called equal protection. And it's a violation of constitutional rights for the government to target a certain person for criminal prosecution because of their political beliefs or for any other reason other than a pursuit of justice and fairness, while at the same time not targeting even worse criminals for prosecution, a.k.a. the BLM Antifa rioters. And so it's just a basic notion of fairness, you Democrats out there. We don't support any kind of criminal activity, but we do support pardons of criminals who were convicted, wrongfully convicted in violation of the Equal Protection Clause of the United States Constitution. And it's the same thing with this quiet size program at DHS. We want equal protection. We want equal application of the law. That's all. And it's whether getting rid of DEI policies. It's the same thing. A lot of all us conservatives are asking for is fairness and equal treatment and follow the Constitution and treat everybody the same. And that apparently that's too much for the Democrats. At the Montana Supreme Court, you had some quite quite a fiery dissent. There was this recent decision from the Montana Supreme Court about public records access and particularly attorneys' fees for getting public records access. And in that case just recently, Montana Supreme Court Justice Jim Rice, in a dissent, accused the Montana Supreme Court's majority of bias against Republicans. And this is from the Montana Free Press. Montana's governor will have to pay the legal bills of the Montana Environmental Information Center and Earthworks, which are just two far-left green decoy radical-left environmental groups. The Montana Supreme Court split 4-3, dissenting Justice Jim Rice, accusing the prevailing majority of bias against Republicans. And what's interesting about this is that Justice Rice actually goes through sort of the history of when the Supreme Court has awarded attorneys fees in these public records lawsuits, sort of when they haven't. And that's where Justice Rice goes on to accuse the court of having no governing law at all, and saying, accusing the court of being another case where the court jettisoned long established governing authority and backfilled the vacuum with its preference to weaponize the law against Republicans. So very interesting to hear that from a Supreme Court justice, especially in light of what they're trying to do to AG Knutson. Hey, I'll see you guys folks on Monday. Thanks for listening. There's